Stories about when I was a kid, but I was a tough kid. Just so you know, we did things all the time, and one of the things we did, I think it was my junior year, I had a friend named Mark. He drove a T-Bird that had a T-top. No, Firebird with a T-top. T-Birds didn't have a T-top. Firebird had a T-top. He had a Camaro or something. Anyways, a fast car. T-Top, he was a friend of mine, and he would encourage me to do things I shouldn't do. One of the things he encouraged us to do one night was to walk through the graveyard that was in our neighborhood out on Miracle Mile. Miracle Mile had its own reputation, but the graveyard in itself was one of those things where we would go and do things we shouldn't do. And so one night he and I were walking through the graveyard, and it was kind of dark, and we heard tap, 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 tap. And I'm starting to get a little freaked out, and I hear this, I get closer, and it's clang, 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 and I get over by where the office is, and there's this guy, he's working on a tombstone in the middle of the night. I said, man, you scared the lolly out of me, man. And I didn't use the word lolly because I was a kid, and back then we used different words. And so I said, you scared me, man. I thought you were a ghost or something. And he said, no, they just spelled my name wrong. That was a joke. Did you hear that? Did you recognize that? Good, 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 good. We did go to the graveyard when I was a kid, and we would do things we weren't supposed to do, but that kind of, I figured, make you laugh a little bit this morning. And even though I was raised in a church, we actually, my pastor preached the gospel, man. He was so Southern, so Baptist, and so Christian, I wore sweats to church one day. And he came out, his name was Larry Rhodes. Larry was kind of an odd duck. Larry came out and said, boy, what are you doing wearing sweats at my church? And he punched me in the belly. Not hard. It was one of those Marine pull punches, you know. And he said, you don't do that. You don't do the church. And he was really conservative. But every year at Halloween, he let the youth group put a haunted house in the Sunday school rooms. And so we would, like, have this haunted house that would, if you ever been to a traditional Southern Baptist church somewhere in the Bible Belt, you'll notice that they have one entry at one end of the building, and they have doors all along the front, but every room is connected by a door. You could go into every room. So we would have this haunted house that we would build, and we would go through there, and we didn't have, like, fog machines and all that, but we did haunted houses. You'd have a white room, you'd have a black room, you'd have a red room, and it was all themed, and it was kind of cool back then because we didn't have the things we have now that scare people like they did, you know, like they do in movies now. So it's not like that kind of haunted house. I mean, it was like, boo, you know, and kids would go, ah, and you'd throw a Snicker bar at them or whatever, you know. So we preached the gospel. It was a Christian church, but back then, parents kind of thought it was safe to go to a haunted house. You'd have community haunted houses, you know what I mean? And churches would compete, and they'd have haunted houses. And so I want to ask you the question this morning, and it's kind of weird, but do you believe in ghosts, goblins, witches, and boogeyman? Do you believe in that stuff? And I'll tell you that if you've ever avoided a black cat because of bad luck, you're not the only person. I give it a second thought when a black cat runs across the path, right? And the reason is because this is where I used to. I don't get so much now, except I think speed bump. But no, I'm just kidding for cat lovers, okay? Don't think that I did. Anyways, so I see a black cat, and I think, oh, yeah, I remember when I was a kid. We used to have this cat. And the reason is because back in the day, way long time ago, a black cat was the companion or a mascot of a group of maybe witches or little, you know, Satan people. And if it served this coven of witches for 7 years, then the black cat would actually get to become a person. And so that was like the story behind it. And so that's why black cats are always associated with these kind of things. And so if people reasoned that a black cat meant There was a group of witches nearby, or a group of satanic demon guy worshipers. And so that's why. But I want to tell you something this morning, that Satan is much more clever than to be using a black cat. He is much more clever than that. So when you see those things, don't get all wrapped up in that, because really Satan's much smarter than we are. And I don't mean it that way in that we're dumb. I'm saying that Satan can use other things. 2 Corinthians, let's go to the Bible for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If we go there, son, do we have that verse? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. You know, Satan may very well appear as a person of light, and I don't want to remind you of some things. You remember the guy named David Koresh, that Branch Davidian group of people? There was that guy, and there was, what was the guy's name, Jim Jones? He was a preacher that took these people to Africa, right? And then there was this guy, Applegate. He was a UFO Haleybot guy in San Diego, and he actually encouraged his group suicide because they followed a guy that was a nice guy. And I believe that all three of those people were influenced by Satan to do those things. And so Satan can influence people and make people look like really nice guys, and we follow them and we do those things, and we find out later that we're not following God, we're ended up following Satan. Because it says in Scripture that he masquerades as an angel of light. So he makes us see things that aren't there. And his servants, like David and Jim Jones and this Applewhite guy, you know, it's more of an appearance thing. And they do nice things and dwell you in. And these guys were in league with the devil. And I think we need to see them for what they were. And it's interesting, you know, I love Pepsi. Pepsi, they did this thing where they, when New Coke came out with New Coke, Pepsi decided to go with Pepsi Clear. They did a whole new campaign, a new Pepsi, and then all everybody was changed and becoming new. And so this is the translation of what happened. In Taiwan, the Pepsi Cola company found that they would use this campaign, and the slogan was to come alive with the Pepsi generation. You remember that slogan? Well, in Taiwan, it translated a little different. It said, if you read it as it was translated, it says, Pepsi will make your ancestors come to life. So needless to say, Pepsi pulled the advertisement in Taiwan. It didn't go over very well, kind of like a rock. So resurrection from the dead is possible, but not through Pepsi. It's only through Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at another verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, brothers, we do not want to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. So what does it say? Trumpet toot, I'm going to scoot, right? So it says, when Jesus comes back, we're going to go with him. God's going to take us with him. So we're going to consider three truths this morning. The first truth in your notes says, there are no ghosts, but there is a Holy Spirit. And I want us to see how important that is. A ghost is a spirit of a dead person, right? And so it's believed to appear in a bodily form by the world, like this, living as a person, roaming around the earth as a person to haunt its former inhabitants. I want to quote some very important. Okay, so listen, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Remember that movie, 1966? Don Knotts. Very funny movie. Dude, he had some scary eyes. That guy could open his eyes like nobody's business, right? What about Amityville Horror? Poltergeist? Those are negative movies. Those are the Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby. I remember that movie, right? And then Ghost, who could forget that? Patrick Swayze. They all looked like they did when they died. Right? They look like that person. Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? And then we have Ghostbusters, the latest one. I like the original. But anyways, what happens is they come back as a ghost form looking like this person who died. But I will say to you that a lot of people watch these movies, they begin to believe in ghosts. And it's amazing to me how gullible people are. The power of suggestion. One writer asked, why are people so gullible? One reason is because the modern man has lost their faith in religion. So the loss creates this vacuum in their mind and in their spirit. And so they form this new form of belief, right? And he said, one guy says this. He says, one of the particular sins of the 20th century which we've developed is a very high level in the sin of credulity or naivety. Okay, we believe anything. All right? And it's been said that human beings stop believing in God, they believe in nothing. But I'll say to you, the truth is much worse. They stop believing in God, they start to believe in anything. They start to believe anything. Why are we so gullible? Another reason we can't face the truth is because we're not willing to face a sacrifice that makes us uncomfortable. Plato said this. He said, we can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark, but the tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. They become afraid of God. What did P.T. Barnum say? Do you remember his famous saying? There's one born every minute, right? We believe anything sometimes, right? There was a guy in London. His name was Mikhail. Mikhail watched a scary movie. He went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night. He heard a noise. He looked down. He saw a ghost. He pulled out his gun and shot his toe off because the sheet was covering his toe. Needless to say, he quit watching scary movies after that. The man has determined that he'll now stick to watching safe movies. Well, I think that's probably a good idea for him. And even though we believe there are no ghosts, we believe the King James Bible when he says that there's a Holy Ghost. Except for the Holy Ghost. That's not some weird spirit that God sent down to haunt us. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of comfort. Matthew 28:19 says this, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and they say God the Holy Spirit. You know, they do that. So the reason is because there's a part of God. He is God the Father, He is God the Son, and He is God the Holy Spirit. All right, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 30. We're going to jump around so you can follow along on here. You can write, I think they're in your notes, so you can look them up later. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. It is something we all have. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And people say, they read that verse and they say, well, it says after you be baptized, you get the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize for the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, the assumption in this verse is that you are going to get saved and get baptized. Boom. Then you'll have the Holy Spirit in your life because the Spirit gives us the willingness to be baptized in Christ. That is why. So it doesn't matter how many times you get wet. The reality is you have the Holy Spirit in your life from the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I get an amen? Another one? Good. A little longer. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. I'm getting over this cold, so I'm going to start squeaking in about 10 minutes. All right, five. So we believe that there are no ghosts. We know that there is a Holy Spirit who lives in you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So, number two, there are no goblins, but there is an evil spirit. I've seen a couple guys working at a gas station, kind of look like a goblin. Short, they kind of had this weird-looking beard thing going on and pointy hair. They weren't goblins, they just didn't know how to comb their hair. So there are no goblins. There is an evil spirit. Goblins, if you look at movies like Harry Potter, You'll see like the goblins, and you'll see these guys, right? And there's a movie. This is even before Harry Potter came out. There was a movie that came out in 1985, and I'm dating myself because some of you weren't even born in 1985. But there was a movie called Legend. Legend had Tom Cruise in it. This was before Tom Cruise was really cool. He was actually like almost a little kid in this movie. But anyways, Tom Cruise played this kid, and he lived in the wild, and he would talk to the animals, right? The animals didn't talk back, but he would talk to the animals. He would commune with nature, and he would do these things. And so I don't believe in all this stuff, okay? But I will say to you, this is the story, and I want to kind of help you out. He's a friend of the animals, and there's this great love named Lily who comes along, and Jack decides he wants to show Lily something magical. But of course, there's a dark force at work. Anytime you try to woo a girl, there's always a dark force, right? And so there's a dark force at work. There's one who wants to destroy all the unicorns. And then you guys remember the movie now. Susie's like, oh, I've seen this movie. He destroys all the unicorns. He wants to destroy because the unicorns represent purity and goodness. And of course, he forces with the devil and the goblins who work for the devil. So this is a movie that a long time ago. And you have to ask yourself, as they start to do battle, will good win over evil? And you get so wrapped up and you're sitting on the edge of the seats, you know it's a fairy tale, right? These movies are fairy tales. These movies are entertainment. In 85, it was that. In the 90s, it was The Hobbit. And lately, it's the Harry Potter movies. Listen, you need to educate your children on what a fairy tale is. You know, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack and Jill really didn't exist. And everybody knows you don't go up a hill to get water. You go down in the valley to get water. So obviously, they were trying to make the rhyme, right? So we have to educate our kids. We have to teach our children. But I will say to you that even though in literature and movies we have these goblins and but they are nowhere to be found on the planet Earth. They don't exist. And how do people come up with these evil little creatures? It's beyond my imagination. But there are no literal goblins. There is an evil spirit in this world, but they don't look like that. He looks like David Koresh. He looks like a man. Because he wants to fool you. Listen, if a goblin came and knocked at your door, other than tomorrow night, chances are you're not going to open the door. Right? We know that. We always tell the people when we're watching a horror movie, don't open the door! And they never turn the light on. Have you noticed that? They get the little flashlight out. Poop. I'm like, why don't you turn the light on? Because a light illuminates everything. And this is the great thing about Jesus Christ. He is the light, and he will illuminate everything. And in a dark world, you turn the light on, and you can see these things. Satan loves to work in the dark. Why? Because you're afraid of the dark. Yeah, I know. You say, oh, I'm not afraid of the dark. Yeah, you are at some point. You know? When I was in Carlsbad Caverns. No, it was some other cave. Anyways, you get to the bottom, and they go, everybody, hold on, and they turn the lights off. And the guy says, how many fingers am I holding up? I'm like, you can't see. And I think all this darkness, and what do we do in a cave when it's dark? I don't know. You can admit it. You're going to stay right where you are. You're not going to take a step in any direction because you don't know what you're stepping into, and Satan knows that. So he wants us to live in the dark. So he puts these things out in the world. Ephesians, we're going to read a few more verses. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How is there evil in the heavenly realms? Remember he said, Satan hides himself as an angel of light. Have you ever been in a room with somebody and think, oh, this is a great place to be? Well, you're not in heaven. But we can be fooled into thinking we're in heaven. Yes, I've been to the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory. I know what heaven looks like. There's a fall of chocolate rolling over hills. And you reach down, you can scoop it in your hand. That's just plain devilish, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. There's that chocolate thing. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same sufferings. You think we suffer bad? Listen, I had a reality check this morning. As I went and got my venti coffee at Starbucks, I got out of the van, turned the key off that had the heater running, and I walked out and I got a little bit of raindrops on my shirt as I was walking into Fred Meyer's. I'm thinking, man, what a bummer. I'm getting wet. So I'm drinking my venti coffee. I'm walking through. You know, we are so lucky. There are people that don't get coffee every morning. They don't even have clean water to make coffee. There are people that can't walk into Fred Meyer's and decide to go buy a maple bar if they want one. There are people who can't even go into Fred Meyer's and buy a toothpaste and toothbrush because they don't have it. We are so fortunate. We are so fortunate to have these things. There are people all over the world going through the same sufferings. And listen, if I didn't have what I had today, I would probably be more tempted to steal. I'd probably be more tempted to do things that I'm not supposed to do. But listen, we've become comfortable in the things we have. And so we have to be careful because the devil will make us feel comfortable in this place we like to think is heavenly. And we get in trouble, right? So be self-controlled and alert. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Have you ever talked to somebody who you can share truth with them all day and they look at you like you're an idiot? Because you believe these things, they are blinded by Satan. They're being blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, we are not unaware of his schemes. We have to know the character of Satan. If you hide from the character of Satan and you say, I don't want to talk about these things, you're never going to learn how to recognize Satan. You need to recognize Satan. You know, they train treasury agents to recognize counterfeits by teaching them so much about what the real bill looks like, they can see a counterfeit like that. You study the gospel, you'll get to know the counterfeit. And that's what we're talking about when you say get to know Jesus. I'm not saying be his friend. I'm saying you need to recognize when he's standing around the corner. Because I guarantee you who he is. And he's got his hooks in somebody. So when you're ignorant about Satan, we become sitting ducks. We become targets. Right? For many, Satan is a devil, and he's an evil influence in the world. And I think of the idea of Satan as merely a synonym for evil, but he's a real person. He exists. The Bible says he is there. Some people say he's the keeper of hell. He's a slithering snake in the grass or something obviously evil. Easily recognized. Right? They think it's easy to recognize the devil. He's got these horns. He's got a little pitchfork. He's got all these little, he's got a tail with a point on the end of it. Probably got a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand or something, you know. And he uses this pitchfork to throw people in hell. That's what he does. That's who the devil is. Listen, this is what Job 1:6-8 says, and I want us to look at this very carefully. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with him. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered to the Lord, from roaming through the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Somebody who worked for God, God said, have you considered him? He's giving him permission to tempt Job or to deal with Job. God allowed Satan to go after Job. What makes you think that he won't allow Satan to go after you? You think just because you're a Christian, you're safe from the devil? You're not. You're not. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by who? The devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter, Satan, came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, you tell these stories, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan tempted Jesus. Do you think maybe he could tempt you? Yeah, he could. Matthew 25, 41 says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, ye who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" A real person. There are some names. This is who Jesus, who the Bible calls Satan in Scripture. Satan in Job, in Matthew, he's referred to as the devil. In Revelation, he's referred to as a serpent. In Isaiah, he's referred to Lucifer, the son of morning. Sounds like a kind of nice name, a son of morning, but it's not. The evil one is in John. In Revelation, the dragon. In John, the prince of the ruler, or prince or ruler. God of this world or age. The accuser of the brethren, the tempter, Belial and Beelzebub. These are all names. Listen, God didn't use that many names in Scripture to name anybody else but Jesus. You don't think that he's important to God? Satan is important. Why? Because he wants you to recognize who he is. Satan is alive and well and living in Oregon City. He's alive and well and living in the United States. He's alive and well roaming to and fro on this planet, right? And he has a whole league of angels or demons assisting him in this world. Should you be afraid of Satan? It all depends on how you're living. You need to live with Christ. You know, as parents, we watch our kids grow up. And when they live with us, we can protect them. But as soon as they step out from under our protection, we see them make mistakes, and we just pray that God will protect them. So God looks at us the same way. You live under God's protection, and if you stay under God's protection, he'll protect you spiritually. But we have to do that. We have Christ. We have this Godhead behind us, this thing that is so big. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Keep saying that to yourself. Okay, thirdly, this is the last point. There is no boogeyman, but there is a savior man. Did you see that? Got that little S right there? Worked hard on that. Took me 15 years to develop that S. Anyways, let me tell you this. There is a Savior man. And, you know, he is, right? He is able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. He is faster than a speeding bullet. He can do anything. The Boogeyman. Remember that movie? There was a movie back in, like, 2005. Got some of the worst reviews ever. Basically, the reviewer said, "It made me look around every corner for an exit so I could leave." That's the kind of movie it was. And I will say to you that there are people in the world who are like the boogeyman. I have boogie children, but that's for a different reason. But the boogeyman in the world today are people like the BTK killer, those guys like Jeffrey Dahmer, those guys. And I don't know why our parents told us stories of the boogeyman. If you don't get home before dark, the boogeyman's going to get you. You ever tell your children the boogeyman's going to get you? You're going to look under your bed. There might be a boogeyman in there. Listen, I don't know why we do that to our kids. I mean, I don't do that to my kids, but, you know, some people do that to their kids, right? The thought is we sometimes want to scare our children into obedience. God doesn't want to scare you into obedience. He just wants to teach you the truth, you know? There's a kid in my junior high. His name was Shane Anderson. Shane Anderson was a little redhead guy. You remember the movie Christmas Story? The redheaded bully? Okay, so I was the kid that got beat up by the redheaded bully. So here's what happened. I was feeling my oats one day. It was toward the end of school year. And Shane has called me names all year long. And by the way, my own personal side of note here, as in junior high, you should never, as a gym teacher, make your kids dress out in front of their kids. It's just not right. My side note. I got picked on every day by Shane Anderson. Shane was an athlete. I was not an athlete. I was a little pasty. He was not. I was in the choir. He was on the football team. I mean, so we were like opposite ends of the spectrum, okay? So Shane Anderson one day, we get on the bus, and he's calling me this name. He used to call me all the time. And I won't even tell you because someday you might say it to me just to make me mad, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I get off the bus, and I do the Daniel two-step. I just kind of, I want to get ahead of Shane as far as I can. So my friend says, why are you running from this guy, man? You're bigger than he is. He said, you ought to be tough. So I looked back. I said, yeah, but you know, he said, no, you're so far away. You'll be home, bud. Go ahead. So what did I do? Turned around and I waved. But I didn't wave like this. You know what I did? I waved. And so when I waved, he dropped his books and started running. Now, remember, I told you he was a football player. And he was smaller than me, but he could run. And so I go running to my friend's house, right? My friend had these big hedges in front of his house. I jotted into his house, and he's not home. So now I'm behind these hedges on his porch where no one could see me get the tar beat out of me, right? And so this kid just beats the living tar out of me. I go home. I got a fat lip, a bloody nose, and I'm crying like a baby, okay? I was upset. I go home, and my brother James, who is not alive anymore, but my brother James, who was kind of a jerk to me, he said, what happened? I said, yeah, Shane beat me up. No one beats you up but me. So he goes over and finds Shane, and he beats Shane up. By the way, that did not work. Because my brother only wanted to do that one time. Apparently, he didn't mean it every day. He just meant it once. So he goes over and beats Shane up. He was my hero that day. My brother came to my side, and he was my hero that day. Now, I couldn't believe it. But the reality is, we have a brother in Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it is fitting that God, for whom through everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and the one who is made holy are the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. My brother James came to my aid. My brother Jesus lives for my Savior. For this reason, Hebrews 2:17, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, flesh and blood, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. Jesus is the big brother who will save us. And he has saved us. And if we believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, we can believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so, if you don't believe me, look at John 3:16. It's the very first verse most of us memorize. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That verse is the very first verse that most kids learn. Why? Because it's so important to learn how God loves us. Because so many people don't experience God's love on a daily basis. In the light of recent events, we have hurricanes, we have earthquakes, tsunamis, presidential elections. I'm telling you, there are things going on right now that make me think that the world is going to end. That Jesus Christ is going to come again. And listen, a lot of churches are preaching that Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow, and they just pray that it does before November 8th. And then they do all these things, right? Many people are worrying, and they should be worried, because the world is starting to go to hell in a handbasket. Have you ever heard the term? That's exactly what's happening to the world. There will come a day when God will call a halt to this world, and he'll toot, you'll scoot, and it'll all be over. We will see God in this time, and there's only one escape from the world at that point, and it's the Savior Jesus Christ. A couple more verses before we end. Mark chapter 4, 39. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet. be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They still didn't understand the power of God, and yet they had him in their boat. You know, here's me. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. If I were sitting in the boat that day, and I was fishing, right? And the waves are coming, and I said, Jesus, we got to go back. The waves are killing. He goes, just, hey, waves, stop. Wind, stop. And it became calm. My next question would be, okay, where do we put the net? Right? Because I begin to trust that God can do just about anything at that point, right? And the disciples still kept doubting him. John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I give to you as the world, I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. No matter what windstorm you think you're going through, God can calm it. No matter what rainstorm you think you're going through, no matter what earthquake, no matter what shakes your world, if you ever had your world shaken up by something in your life, listen, no matter what happens, God is ultimately in control, and all he's got to do is speak to it. You just have to be still. You ever want to say to your kids, hey, just take a chill pill for a moment? That's what God is saying. Just be still and know that I am God. Why is it important to know that he's God? Well, because when we recognize that God is God and we are his children, then we recognize that God is in charge and not us. We recognize that the peace that passes all understanding comes from God, not from us. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, the peace has to come from God. Doesn't matter whether you own your house or you have six mortgages on it, the peace that passes all understanding comes from God. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have that relationship right with Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, this morning we ask that you would help us examine ourselves. Help us to see where we need to change. Help us to see where we need to get better. Father, if we need to accept you into our life, we pray that we do that. Lord, as we joked around a little bit this morning about, Satan and how he wants to eat us for lunch. But Father, I pray today that we would recognize that he is a true villain. He's a bad guy. And Father, there's only one way to get around him, and that's through you. Father, I pray today that you would just bind Satan from our midst today. Father, that we would have a great day. Father, that we would have an enjoyable day. But Father, we can't enjoy this day without knowing that you are in charge of our lives. So Father, this morning we ask that you would help us to change that if we haven't accepted you. Help us to move forward in our Christian walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.